This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We thank you for tuning in and we trust the program will bless, encourage, and maybe even challenge you. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way. We'd love to pray for you and we'd love to get feedback from you as to any comments you might have with regard to the program. I have a website that has this program on it, and it also has additional information, a weekly meditation and other information on it that you might find helpful. So I'll give you the website address and my mailing address at the close of the program. Now, of course, today is December 23rd and we're moving into the Christmas holiday. And most of you have been getting Christmas messages and Christmas programs and Christmas cards, and you probably know more about Christmas than you know about any other aspect of the Christian faith because of the time that is spent on Christmas in the churches and even in the secular world. But I'm going to break away from my discussion of miracles this morning and spend a little time on the Christmas miracle, because I believe the birth of the Lord is really one of the miracles that we've been looking at. Now, we've been looking at 37 different miracles. We've tried to look at them in their chronological order. Before that, we looked at 40-some prophecies of the Lord Jesus that were fulfilled when he came the first time. And all of this was designed to help us understand that the Bible is not like any other book. It is self-fulfilling. It is self-validating. In other words, it has checks within it to help us understand that the things that we read there are very Word of God and that we can depend on them. And our key verse has been that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got all of these different prophecies, and now we've got all of these different miracles. And when we look at them and realize that these are ways God has given man to be confident in the truth that is put forth in the Bible, when we get all of that together, it would be, to me, it would be a fool that would say that the Bible is not the very Word of God. But you, my listeners, I'm sure, are worshiping in some way Christ during this Christmas season. And I guess my concern is that do you really worship Christ as Christ wanted to be worshiped, or do you worship Christ in the way you want to worship him? In other words, have you actually come to the Word of God, and have you actually recognized that this one came into the world to save sinners, that he came not just to be born and to give joy to the world, as we often sing, peace on earth and goodwill to men and all of that. He came to die, and the end result of his life was an old rugged cross. And then we're going to look at one final miracle. I hope to do this next week in connection with the new year, and that final miracle is the resurrection from the dead, because the real proof of all that we believe is tied to an empty tomb. And so today I have to ask you, do you trust in this one who came into the world as a babe in Bethlehem's manger and died on an old rugged cross and was raised from the dead 3 days later according to Scripture? Have you really trusted him? Because that's the way you prepare for eternity. And this life is all about preparing for eternity. And so I get concerned when people say that they're keeping Christ in Christmas, but they have no desire to really spend time in his presence, to pray to him, to carry out his desires, his commands, to remember him. They don't want to associate with other Christians, that is, other biblically based Christians. They might associate with secular Christians, people that say they believe in Christ, but at the same time do not really practice any kind of real worship with regard to the Lord they say they believe in. It worries me, in other words, that we can be a nation that worships a Christ that we do not believe in, and I hope that that's not the case with anyone in my audience today. Now, I've been thinking a little about John chapter 1 and verse 14, where we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We don't usually look at John chapter 1 as the Christmas story, but it is. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And now the Word has become flesh, and it's become man. And the Word dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And he balances grace with truth. The Lord never lied to us. He calls sin, sin, but he also provides grace, which is something we do not deserve. He provides salvation to a fallen humanity. And I'm glad for the day in my life when I understood that as a sinner, I could just come to Christ and trust him because he had died for my sins. He bore the punishment that I deserved. And to me, that's what Christmas is all about, recognizing that Christ is the Savior of sinners. When we read about the Lord coming into this world, I'm always reminded of the passage in Luke having to do with Simeon. And I'm going to read that to you because remember now again, the Lord was born not only to bring joy and hope to the world, but he was born to die, and it's through his death, burial, and resurrection that we do have salvation. In Luke 2 and 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, the consolation has to do with comfort or the alleviation of pain and discomfort. He was trying to see Israel delivered from the bondage of that it was in, and all of the nation of Israel was hoping that there would be a king come who would deliver them from the bondage of being under the Roman Empire and give them their independence again. And so he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Notice salvation was in this person. "Mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many heart may be revealed." And so when we look at Simeon coming and blessing the child and telling them prophetically what was going to happen, he recognized that Mary would see the crucifixion of this one that she loved, this one who prophetically was to be her Savior. That's what she tells Elizabeth when she sings that song that we call the Magnificat. I never can say it right. But anyway, she says to Elizabeth that this is God, her Savior. And so when we look at what the Simeon was bringing before us, we realize that, yes, there was joy. There was a miracle. A baby was being born according to Old Testament prophecy. But along with that joy was sorrow, because that sorrow was going to be that men were going to reject him, not just the Gentiles, but his own people were going to reject him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And we don't really emphasize that in most of our Christmas program. We like to look at the joy of a birth, but we don't like to look at the futility of the death of the Lord Jesus. We don't like to look at the horrendous things that were done to this one that was born the King of the Jews. And so when we look at Simeon, we can see that he had understood what was going to happen. But one of the other miracles associated with the birth of the Lord was the fact that he was born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph resided in Nazareth, but he had to be born in Bethlehem. We read in Matthew chapter 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." That's from Micah chapter 5. And verse 2. So the Lord had to be born in Bethlehem. His parents were living in Nazareth. And so it turned out that Caesar Augustus gave a decree that they were going to take a census. It was actually, as I understand it, a matter of taxing the people properly. And so when they took that census, because both Mary and Joseph were of the line of David, and David's home was in Bethlehem, they had to go to Bethlehem to be enrolled in that census properly. And so as they were making that trip back to Bethlehem, that's when the Lord was born. And so even though there's a lot of things that happened when the Lord was born, as you look at his birth itself, where it took place, how it took place, and the way those who understood the truth of the Old Testament prophesied with regard to him, we know that his birth was indeed a miracle. But the question is, is the miracle of the new birth something that we understand? Because this one who tells us that we're told had to be born in Bethlehem also tells us that we have to be born again in John chapter 3. And I hope that you understand that through him and through faith in him, we get a completely changed attitude and outlook on life and a changed destination for eternity. And so I hope you're not just worshiping a nativity scene. I hope you're actually trusting in the work and person of the Lord Jesus at this time of the year. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. We ask you to bless all who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. And we do thank you for listening.